Told Pastor I was going to preach about fried chicken this morning. He didn't believe me. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. There's only one gospel. Let me say that again. There's only one gospel. Regardless of who comes to you and tries to preach something else to you, there's only one gospel. Even if an angel comes, even if his name is Monroney, there's only one gospel. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege that you've given us to be back at Flag. Thank you, Lord, for this great church. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful pastors that have become dear friends to us. We ask you, Lord, that you would anoint this service today with power. Power from on high. Help us, Lord. Bring conviction of sin. Bring hunger for you. Touch us and help us. And Lord, we give you the glory. And everybody here said, amen. I was in Alaska in January. I know that's not smart. There ought to be a better time to go to Alaska, but I was in Alaska preaching in January, and I preached at a great church there in Anchorage and a great missions church, like this church is a great missions church. And they have a particularly a good partnership with a nation of Africa where they spend much of their resource and much of their energies, and they are very good to visit this country and bring people from Africa to their church and keep a fellowship camaraderie going between the mission field and the home church. And the pastor was telling me that he had brought with to Anchorage from Alaska a very important minister, and I don't know him personally, but Pastor described him to me as being the head of the Assemblies of God in his nation. Similar to what we would have in America as the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God. But this fellow was not just the Assemblies of God general superintendent for his nation, but he was over the fellowship of the Assemblies of God for all of Africa. I'm talking about this guy's important, okay? He's a big shot. And beyond that, if that's not enough, he was over all of the Pentecostal churches in all of Africa, kind of like we used to have in the U.S. a fellowship called the Pentecostal Fellowship of North America. He was over the fellowship of the African nations. And that's a big deal. There's lots of Pentecostal people in Africa. I mean, lots of Pentecostal people. And this guy's the head over all of those, and Africans like chicken. Are there any Africans here this morning? Am I telling you the truth? Do you like chicken? I mean, Cajuns like crawdads and Texans like barbecue and Africans like chicken. And he wanted to take him to a chicken place. So where else are you going to take him but Kentucky Fried Chicken? And they come into the Kentucky Fried Chicken, and he wants to impress the little lady that's working behind the counter, and he says, I want to tell you that I've brought a very important man here today, and I've brought him here to eat chicken, and said, he's the pedigree I gave you. He's the head of the Assemblies of God in his nation, and he's the head of the Assemblies of God in all of Africa, and he's the head over the Pentecostal Union of all of Africa. And the little girl working at Kentucky Fried Chicken looked back across the counter, and she said, I'm sorry. We're out of chicken. We're out of chicken. Now wait just a minute. How could Kentucky Fried Chicken be out of chicken? You understand, if McDonald's is out of McNuggets, you can still eat a hamburger at McDonald's. If Dairy Queen is out of chicken strips, you can still get a hot dog at Dairy Queen. If Long John Silver's is out of planks, you can still eat fish. But when Kentucky Fried Chicken's out of chicken, you might as well go home. What's the reason to even be there? You might as well close the doors. In fact, they did over in England. All of the Kentucky Fried Chickens in London ran out of chicken. Look at the sign. Sorry, we're closed. We deliver our chicken fresh into our restaurants, but we've had a few hiccups with the delivery today. We wouldn't want to open without offering our full menu. Your full menu is chicken. Can you imagine that your only job in life is to make sure that the chicken gets to Kentucky Fried Chicken and you don't get the chicken there? There was a hiccup. Kentucky Fried Chicken ran out of chicken. How sad is that? But you know what I want to tell you? There's a more serious shortage today than Kentucky Fried Chicken being out of chicken, because we've got churches all across Houston, Texas that have run out of gospel. We've got churches all across America that still open their doors on Sunday, but they're out of chicken. I mean, they are out of gospel. Millions of them have ran out of gospel, and a church that's run out of gospel might as well go home. I was talking about Whataburger. I was sitting at Whataburger. I missed a picture. I was sitting at Whataburger the other day and thought I had a picture of it. You look on your Whataburger, next time you're enjoying that, look on your Whataburger cup and it says, when empty, dispose of properly. When empty, dispose of properly. That's the sign that ought to be put on a lot of church doors across America. When it's empty, dispose of it properly. Because too many churches have run out of gospel. I'm glad this morning, so happy today at Flag, that this church hadn't run out of chicken. I'm glad that Flag hadn't run out of gospel. We still got chicken this morning. Pastor told me you had chicken yesterday at the seniors meeting, but that's not the kind of chicken I'm talking about. I'm talking about we've still got salvation in this house. We're still preaching that Jesus saves. Thank God He saves. Oh, so many churches today, they've got a liberal gospel or a social gospel or a watered-down gospel or a usually friendly gospel. But I'm telling you, as Paul told you, if it's not the gospel, it ain't gospel at all. You gotta have the gospel, and thank God we still have it. We still preach the gospel. Let me add, we've got salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ, for there is no other way to have it. You can turn over a new leaf, but Jesus can give you a brand new life. Thank God this morning. Thank God Flag still got chicken. I have a friend, known him most of my life, lives up in Oklahoma. He's raised in a little Assembly of God church in Corum, Oklahoma. You'd have to know where Corum was to find it. I'm not even sure there's a sign that says Corum, but there's a little Assembly of God church there. And David was raised at the Assembly of God church in Corum, but he strayed away from the Lord, as so many young people do. And he went off to college down in Tishomingo, and he got to carousing and carrying on and drinking, and ended up drunk one night and driving his car. And well, you know, that's not a very good combination, because he woke up the next morning in jail. Woke up in county jail, and he started to light up a cigarette in that jail, and he said God spoke to him and said, if you smoke this cigarette, this jail's going to be your home. I don't know what God ever said to you about cigarettes. I know what He said to David that day. They bailed him out. His grandma bailed him out, and he got out of jail. And as soon as he got back to Comanche, he headed for the little Assembly of God church, and they were taking prayer requests. Pastor's asking, anybody got a prayer request? And David stood up in the back, and he said, I don't know if this is the right time or not, but I need to get saved. How many of you know there's no wrong time to get saved? There's no wrong time in anybody's church to get saved. And David came to the front that day and gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ, gave himself surrendered to the Lord. Oh, that was 45 years ago, I guess. And David's serving God faithfully today. He's a member of the board of this ministry, because there was a church in Comanche, Oklahoma, that still had chicken. There was a church that still had salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad if you come into this place lost today, you can find an answer. You can find a Savior. Jesus still saves, and He saves here. Thank God we ain't out of chicken yet. We have a friend here in Houston, down in Richmond, Charles Meisgeier, the pastor, and Rebecca came over to the house one night and met the Meisgeiers. And Charles was studying psychology. He became a professor of psychology at UT at Austin, but he was studying psychology, and he was in New York, and Billy Graham was having his first crusade at Madison Square Garden. My, what a great soul winner that Billy Graham. Can you imagine what it was like when he got to heaven? How many people must have been standing there saying, thank you for helping me get in. Billy Graham was preaching at Madison Square Garden, and Charles went. He didn't go because he wanted Jesus. Didn't go because he wanted to get saved. He went because he wanted to study that mob hysteria. He wanted to know what it was about the psychology of that event that caused all of those people to respond to that invitation. And so Charles went. The first night he was under extreme conviction. God was dealing with him, but he resisted. He said he held onto the pole in front of him. He had taken the highest seat in the arena, right at the very top. And he said he held onto the pole. And he didn't go down. And the next night he went back and he felt something, but he didn't feel the strength of the conviction that he felt the first night, and went several nights. And then his wife to be, Miss Connie, went with him one night, and they were sitting there together, and Billy Graham gave the invitation, and Connie's a Presbyterian preacher's daughter, but she felt the Holy Ghost convicting her of her sins, and she got out of her seat and went down towards the front of the arena, and Charles is sitting there by himself at the very top of that arena, and he whispered something like this to God. He said, Lord, if you'd let me feel what I felt on the first night, I believe I'd go down there. And about that time, there was a rush of Holy Ghost conviction that came over him, and he knew that God was speaking to him, and he got up out of his seat to start to the front, and at that moment, he noticed they had closed the altar call. Billy Graham was through. The people that were moving had stopped moving. Everybody was on the floor that were going. Nobody else was moving, and he stood there realizing he'd missed his opportunity. And Billy Graham, the great evangelist, looked up at the top of that arena and said, sir, we've got time for you. Oh, glory to God. I'm glad that Billy Graham hadn't run out of chicken that night. Charles Meisgeier has done a great job for God and a leader in the charismatic renewal because somebody was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Jesus saves. If you're in this room today and your life is bound by sin, if you're in this room today and you have no hope for tomorrow, if you're in this room today and you have no hope for heaven, I'm telling you there's a Savior that came to this earth and gave His life on an old rugged cross to save you from sin. And we're preaching that in this church. Hallelujah. Some churches must think that you find God through osmosis because they never give people an opportunity to find Him. You'll have an opportunity this morning. You need Jesus. We still got salvation. Thank God we still have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'd add to that with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You see, there's no offense to a baptism of the Holy Spirit without tongues. Every church in Houston would like to have more of the Holy Spirit if you don't bring up tongues, because tongues are an offense to the flesh. It's an offense to the flesh that to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to speak in other tongues. But you know what? We still believe it the way the Bible teaches it. We still believe you receive the way they received in the book of Acts. We still believe that you receive like the people in Cornelius' house receive. We believe you receive with the scriptural evidence, baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. We still got chicken. Linda and I were in Belize preaching a pastor's conference in Belize in July. And we went out on an island, San Pedro Island, and preached at a church out there. I was at this church 15 or so years ago. And when I was there before, it was a small building. They've built a new building, and it's a larger building, nicer building. But it was a small building, and it was purple. Now, when I say it was purple, I'm not talking about kinda or sorta. I mean, it was purple. It wasn't lavender. It was purple. It was as purple. I mean, it was a purple people eater church. The ceiling was purple. The walls were purple. Everything about the church was purple. except on the front, the artist there in the church had painted a picture of a dove. We got one of our books out there. We used that picture for the cover of our book on the Spirit from God. But anyway, a beautiful dove. And this lady is a nationally or internationally known artist, but she wasn't there the night when I preached, but her husband was there. And he, I mean, this is an island in Belize. He comes to church in shorts and he's barefoot. No shoes. No shirt. We still had service. You know what I'm saying? We still had church. And I preached that night on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that man came forward to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I've seen a lot of people. I don't know how many thousands of people I've seen receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I don't think I ever saw anybody get it any better than he did. He was so happy. He shouted and prayed and spoke in tongues. He preached. I mean, he stood on the platform raising his arms and pointing his finger and preaching in other tongues, must have preached for an hour in the spirit language because God had baptized him in the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, that same Spirit's here today. We're still preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost at Flag. If you've not received the wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit, he's here today and we're preaching and God's delivering and God's setting free and God's baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. Oh, you say, well, I'm just not sure that's for me. Well, I don't know why you would say that. He said it was for as many as the Lord our God should call. It was good enough for Peter and James and John in the upper room. It was good enough for Thomas the doubter. It was good enough for Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's good enough for me and it's good enough for you. We need this precious power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank God we still got chicken. Some of y'all got to run to KFC as soon as I get through this morning. This is a subliminal message. I'm being paid for subliminal messages from KFC. No, I'm kidding about that. We still have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? We still have healing. We still have healing. The scripture says, by his stripes we are healed. Every Pentecostal church in the world used to preach it. Not only preach it, but practice it. We used to put it on our signs outside that said Jesus saves and heals. When people drove by, they saw a red cross with the words Jesus saves and heals because we preach the power of God. But somehow a lot of folks have lost the chicken today. When I was born, my parents had got saved. My parents got gloriously saved in 1949 in a 6-week revival. Two women evangelists. I'm talking about the old-fashioned kind with the bun on their head, so tight that it make their eyeballs pop out. They were old-fashioned Pentecostal, but my whole family got saved. She drugged my whole family out of hell and brought them into the kingdom. And my mom and dad got so saved and filled with the Spirit of God. And I was born 3 years later. Our church was in revival when I was born. I'm not making that up. That's why I got revival in my DNA. I was born in revival. Well, I was born in the hospital, but the church that I attended was in revival when I was born. And I was born with club feet. And the doctors told my parents that I'd have to have surgery on my feet and I'd have to wear braces and I would never walk right or be able to run right. But that church in revival began to pray. And before I ever left the hospital, God turned my feet. And every time I take a step for 66 years, every time I've took a step, it says God still heals. It says, oh, we still got chicken. I'm glad that church in Comanche, Oklahoma had enough chicken, enough power. Power of God to pray for me and God could heal my body. And the same God is here this morning and he still saves and he still baptizes people in the Holy Ghost and he still heals sick bodies. Oh, I know what some people are saying. Well, I just don't know because I knew somebody that was sick and they were prayed for and they didn't get well. Well, I do too. I do too. I know people that were sick and were prayed for and they died. I know people like that too and I don't understand it. But you know what? I don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk and they turn it into yellow butter that makes orange cheese, but I don't keep that from, don't make that, don't let that keep me from going to Whataburger and enjoying a cheeseburger with bacon on it. You know what I'm saying? Just because I don't understand it, just because I don't understand how the cow makes white milk is not going to keep me from drinking milk with my Oreos. Just because I don't understand it don't mean I'm not going to do it. I don't understand everything about healing, but I believe Jesus heals. Glory to God. Glory to God. Usually at this point in the message, I've got some pictures I'd show you, but since we're at Flag this morning, I want to show you a little video that we put together a few weeks ago because it features one of the members here at Flag. And I want to share this with you before I close the message. And I'm winding down. Now, ladies, that don't mean put your shoes on yet, but I'm winding down. We'll watch this little video and I'm going to close. Aren't you glad this morning we're not out of chicken? Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus still saves? Aren't you glad that He still baptizes in the Holy Spirit? Aren't you glad that He still heals the sick today? Aren't you glad that you go to a church that hadn't run out of gospel? Can you give a great hand to God and to Flag today for preaching the gospel? I read a story. I suppose that it's true. I read a story that the great Rose Bowl Parade. Any of y'all ever watched that parade on TV? Sure you have. I think I'd like to see it in person. All those beautiful floats and beautiful flowers. The Tournament of Roses. They tell me that back before World War II, they were having the Tournament of Roses Parade down downtown Los Angeles, and the entire parade stopped. Parade's moving along well, everyone's happy, and the parade stops. You know, if one float stops, every float stops. And one float stopped and stopped the whole parade. They ran out of gas. A float in the Tournament of Roses parade ran out of gas. It was Standard Oil's float. That's Chevron. Standard Oil's float ran out of gas and stopped the whole parade because one gas company with millions of gallons of gas, millions and millions and millions of gallons of gas ran out of gas. They had to wait and send somebody to go get some gas. How sad. When an oil company runs out of gas, or when a chicken company runs out of chicken. But how much sadder is it when the church runs out of gospel? How much sadder is it when the church runs out of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to run out. There's not a church in America that has to run out because there is a warehouse. Just as surely as Standard Oil has tens of thousands of barrels filled with oil in tanks here and there and around the world, there is a warehouse for us. There is a storage supply that will never, never, never run dry. The scripture says, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory." There's a warehouse in heaven that will never have a shortage. And whatever you're needing today, whatever is your life's challenge, whatever you need, if you need salvation, if you need the Holy Spirit, if you need healing, the warehouse is full. The warehouse is full, and we've learned how to tap into the supply. And Flag ain't ever going to run out of chicken. Pastor, I know you, this church ain't ever going to run out of chicken. There's always going to be some here. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father, I thank You today for the privilege to minister the Word of God. I thank You, Lord, for testimonies that I can share that You save and heal and baptize in the Spirit. But Lord, these testimonies are things that You have done. We want to see what You will do in this service this morning. Lord, I pray for anyone in this room that's heart's not right with You, anyone in this room that's not living where they need to live in Jesus, anyone that's not walking and salvation. I pray for them. And I pray, Lord, for anyone that needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If there's even one person here that needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit, may they receive today. Lord, I pray for those that need healing in their body. Let this Sunday morning be a healing time. Healing time in Jesus' name. Amen. Your heads are still bowed across the room for just a minute. We're taking time this morning, leaving time this morning, because we're going to pray. I want to ask you, if you're here in this room and I don't know you, a few of you I know, a couple of you I met at Sam's this week, a few of you I know, most of you I don't, but I'm going to ask you a very personal question this morning. If Jesus came today, would you be ready to meet him? Is your heart right with God? Are you saved? Has Jesus come into your heart and washed your sins away? And if he has, are you walking in that freedom from sin? Or have you gone back into the bondage of the prodigal son's pig pen? Where are you at spiritually today? Do you need Jesus? I'm going to ask who's in this room this morning. I believe you're here. You're in this room and you're not walking where you need to walk in fellowship with God. You're doing things you know you shouldn't be doing. But you know that salvation is here and it's rich and it's free and you want to receive something from him today. Lift your hand. I need Jesus to forgive my sins. Would you lift your hand up and say, pray for me? I know you're in this room. God bless you, young lady. God bless you, sir. You can put your hand back down after you've lifted it. Who else? I need Jesus today. I'm not walking in fellowship with him. I'm walking in unrighteousness. I'm doing things I know I shouldn't be doing. I want to go to heaven when I die, but I know I'm on the wrong road. You'd say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to get right with Jesus today. Is there one more? One more that raised their hand. I want to wait on you a minute. We're not in a hurry. I want to wait on you. If you need Jesus, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. But I want to ask you the second question this morning. You're here, you know Jesus, you love him, he's Lord of your life, but you've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit the way they received in the book of Acts with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. If you'd just slip your hand up, we're going to pray for you to receive. You say, Pastor, this is Sunday morning. Yeah, the day of Pentecost when they were all filled with the Spirit was 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. We're already 2 hours late for them. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You'd lift your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody? I know somebody's hungry to receive. I know when I get through preaching, somebody's going to say, I wished I'd have went up there and received the Holy Spirit this morning. Now's your time. Would you lift your hand right now? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. God bless you, sis. I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Young people, do you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? If you don't, he's here today to baptize you. Bless you. Amen. I see your hand. We're going to give an invitation for these in just a minute, but I want to ask you the third question. That is, how many of you need healing in your body today? How many of you really, you need a miracle in your body? I know a miracle working God. You saw on that video a boy that was so close to death. They thought he had died, and God raised him up, and God can do it for you. You need a healing in your body. I see your hands. Lift your hand up. I need a miracle. I need a miracle. I know all of us, especially those of us my age, we got some aches and creaks and pains, but I mean, you need a miracle. Raise your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want y'all to pray with me. I want y'all to pray like yours is the life on the line. Some people raised their hand this morning that they needed Jesus. What could be any more important than that? Some people that needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, can you pray with me right now that God will move on their hearts and they will respond to this invitation and they will receive what they need today? Would you join me in that prayer, everyone in this room? Father, in the name of Jesus, we know there's needy people here. Lord, there's folks that raise their hand up and acknowledge that they're not walking with you and they need you, Lord. And we pray for them right now. We pray there'd be such a conviction of the Holy Spirit that no one could resist, that everyone would move forward and receive you today, Lord. Lord, we pray for these two that raised their hand and needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, you'd put such a hunger in their heart that nothing could keep them back, that they would come and they would receive this morning, that this would be their day for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for healing. Lord, I don't understand everything about healing. I don't. But I know that you said in your word that it's by your stripes we're healed. And I believe somebody's going to be healed today. I believe there's going to be a miracle testimony come out of this service at Flag today. Because you still save and you still heal. In Jesus' name. For just a minute longer, your heads are still bowed and nobody's looking. You raised your hand a moment ago and you said, I'm not living where I need to live with Jesus. I need prayer this morning. You asked me to pray for you and I have. But I'm going to ask you to acknowledge that you need Jesus by coming and kneeling at one of these altars and allow one of the leaders of this church, one of the prayer workers, to come and pray with you. Would you come right now? Sir, you raised your hand. Would you come? This is the time to come. Thank you so much. Young lady, you raised your hand. Now's the time to come. Come on. I'd like for some of the prayer workers to come and join me at the altar. There's some others that need to come this morning. You haven't given your heart to Jesus, so you're not following Him. You're not walking fully with Him. I want you to come to this altar right now. Now's the time to do it. Now's the time to come. You need Jesus this morning. Now's the time to come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's a miracle worker. He can change your life. In one morning, He can change your entire life. If you don't know Him, it's time to come. It's time to come. Now, those of you that raised your hand that you needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to come and stand right here close to where Pastor's standing. I just ask you to do that so that we can make a little separation. We know how to pray for people. You want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come stand right here. We've got some workers here full of the Holy Ghost. They're going to come pray for you. There's one more that raised her hand. I'm going to wait on you just a minute if you want to come. If you didn't raise your hand, you're still welcome to come. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come stand right here by Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Well, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Boy, I need a couple of Holy Ghost dynamos. I mean somebody full of the Holy Ghost to come and pray with these guys that want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want you to come and hold your hands up and stand with them until they receive this morning. Now, there were many. I don't know how many. There was many that wanted a healing in their body. Could you just come and stand in front of this front row of pews so we can pray for you today? If you need a miracle, if you need a healing in your body, just come and stand right here. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, I've been up there before. I've been prayed for before. It didn't help. You know, it didn't hurt anything. Didn't hurt anything for you to come and get prayed for. You come this morning. This might be the day for your miracle. Oh, He is great. He does miracles so great. Nobody like Him. Nobody like Him. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Now, I need some help this morning. God willing, I'm going to lay my hands on every one of these people and I'm going to pray for every one of them and do the best I can to pray the prayer of faith for them. But I need some help. I need some believers to come and stand behind them. The Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. I just want you to come stand behind them. You don't have to say anything. You can just put your hand on their shoulder and let them know that somebody's right there behind them. The Bible says if two or three of us agree as touching anything, it'll be done. I want you to come and agree with somebody this morning. Just come and agree. We're going to agree together. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You say, well, this is Sunday morning. Well, I know it. That's why we're here. That's why we got dressed up and come over here. It's Sunday. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to invite everybody that wants to come around the altars and help us pray. Pray for you, these that are at the altar. Pray for yourself. Pray for your loved ones. We're going to worship God now and we're going to pray. We're going to worship God and we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.